It's kind of glad to hear you guys chuckle at that scripture reading. There's some odd things there, aren't they? Not the least of which, as a recovering alcoholic, by the way, I was always greatly impressed that Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. I liked it when I was drinking, and I'm kind of okay with it now, too. What is up with that? The first miracle in the Bible, at least according to John's gospel, that's where we're with today, is Jesus turning water into wine. I should clarify, it's not actually a miracle. You'll notice in John's gospel, they never use the word miracle. It's signs and wonders. And this is the first sign. I think it said that at the end of that reading, right? Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. There are no miracles, there are signs. Signs and wonders. Does that matter? I don't know. There's a lot going on here, and quite frankly, I wish I could blame the sermon on the weather, but there's just so many questions I have. I have more questions again today than answers or wisdom for you. I always struggle, on the one hand, with the difference between magic and miracles. And so the fact that we're not dealing with a miracle here, we're dealing with signs and wonders, still, there's a miraculous thing that happens, right? So in our vocabulary, we're dealing with the miracular. Is that the right word? Miraculous. Miraculous, thank you. That didn't seem right. I'm blaming that on the weather. It's cold. I'm much more comfortable thinking, especially when I read the Bible, with the mystery of God and the majesty of God. And mystery implies to me there's a lot of things I don't understand. I can't do the math or the science and figure out how did he get this water into wine. It's a mystery to me. Is it a miracle? Is it a sign of something? It is a sign of something. And why do we have these signs that reveal the glory of Jesus? Sometimes I need Jesus to be human like me. Sometimes I need to know that Jesus is kind of like me, and sometimes embarrassingly human like me. And we get pictures of Jesus in the gospel. Actually, there might even be a hint of it here when his mom comes up to him and says, hey, you know, they're running out of wine. His response to her, I think, is kind of comical. What does he say? Yeah. Woman. He says, woman. Don't we all refer to our mom as woman? Woman. What does that have to do with you or to me? This is not of my concern, basically. And I think we get that sort of irritated with mom feeling from Jesus at that point. Woman, what does that have to do? So sometimes I really need Jesus to be human like me so I know that I can identify with him. But then there are other times I kind of like the idea of Jesus with superpowers. Anybody else kind of like that? I think it's kind of a complex we have in our culture that we really fantasize about superpowers. If you look at all the movies and the comics that celebrate ordinary people coming to life with superpowers. I'm making light of that, but really what I mean is I really want to know that Jesus is not like me at all. He's way beyond me. And I think I get that in today's story with the signs and the wonders that he begins with here at the wedding in Cana. I get that there is something revealed about Jesus that reminds me and all of us that, whoa, there's something different about. I mean, he's human like me. His mom kind of irritates him sometimes. But there's something else going on with this guy. Do you see that? There is something way beyond me about Jesus. And what's revealed about Jesus is his glory. When the Bible uses the word glory, you know what we're talking about? I'll give you a hint. And the glory of the Lord shone around. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Do you know what we're talking about, glory? Yeah, it's light. There's some kind of light and energy that Jesus possesses that he wants us to have. Right? We just sang these beautiful words by our friend Richard Bruxford Colligan. Light the world, heal the earth, bear the Christ, your light has come. Whose light? God's light? Christ's light? Your light? Yeah. You see, what he revealed is his glory, and it's beginning to sparkle a little bit. And what we sing about and what we celebrate in this month of Epiphany is the light, the glory of God that shines through everything. Just life just emanates with this energy. So some of my questions are, why the water into wine? Why is that a good first miracle? I kind of mused to myself a little bit. I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, John's gospel is famous for its I am sayings. And they usually coincide with a sign or a miracle. He heals a blind man, and he says, I am the light of the world. He feeds the 5,000, and he says, I am the bread of life. Right? He preaches about shepherds, and he says, I am the shepherd. he turns water into wine. Why doesn't he say, I am the wine? Wouldn't that be a great I am saying? I am the wine. He comes close to that later in the gospel. He says, I am the vine. So maybe he is saying, I am the wine. The early church, I think, the early Christians would have read a story like this, and I think they would have paid attention to some of these details. So where did he get the water? What was the source of the water? Well, nearby there were these six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. Six big stones. They hold, how much water do they hold? 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of water. It's even more wine, it seems to me. That's 150 gallons of wine. I was told there would be no math, but I think that's about 150 gallons of wine. Wow. They're there for the Jewish rite of purification. So you see, the early church that's following Jesus as their Savior, they were a bunch of, they were basically a band of Jewish believers who were looking for a Messiah, and they latched on to Jesus thinking that he was it. And so you hear a story like this, and you see the traditions of Judaism being transformed into something new. The Jewish rites of purification are now the wine of communion. That's one possible, right? So why wine? Well, because it became sacramental. And so maybe an I am statement here would be pretty good. I am the vine. I am the wine. When you drink of this, remember me. So this Jesus who is way more than we are or can understand is all of a sudden part of our weekly ritual and celebration. We come to the table and we are transformed like that water into something new, that something that has a new purpose. And I imagine that the early Christians gathered and, you know, they came just like we do with their everyday worries and concerns. How am I going to make a buck? How am I going to get through the next 24 hours? How am I going to, you know, make it through this illness? Or what about my grandkids? And, you know, all the things that we bring. And what can I bring to the table? And we bring all those things, and somehow they are, I'm not going to say magically, and I'm not even going to say miraculously. I'm going to say they are mysteriously transformed. They are mysteriously transformed into something else. And we leave here renewed, restored, and refreshed. So that's basically how I'm wrestling with the miraculous today, is understanding it's about transformation. It's about something being changed from, not a bad thing, the Jewish rites of purification. It's not a judgment on those. It's just, you know, they have some ordinary everyday use here, and in Jesus they might be transformed into something great. So I think about this room of people, of disciples, a band of the mighty, the hardy that came out on a day like today. You know, what can we do in this world today? Well, our ordinary concerns, our loves, our meager talents and resources can be transformed into something that will mysteriously have an impact on the world. Thanks be to God.